Hello and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. Join us, the two blokes, Tom and Owen, as we dive deep into the complex, exciting and potentially lucrative world of home trading.
This week on the Two Blokes Trading podcast, we review Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. We wrap up our final interview with Brandon Turner, looking at his institutional trading methodology. And we look ahead to next week when we'll be starting Equities Month. Tom, hello.
Morning. How are you? How's the weekend?
Good, thank you very much. Yeah, no dramas at my end. Mostly just baby duty for me. How about you?
Yeah, no, I'm happily no baby duty for me at all. So a lot of just being selfish, really, mate. I smashed a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's, FYI.
Another one?
Yeah. No, I'm packing them away now. It's good for training, isn't it?
No.
Oh. Anyway, go on. What's going on?
Well, so I've talked a lot about Trading in the Zone recently in snippets here and there, much to your chagrin. So I suggested that rather than just denigrating me, you might want to read it yourself. So I believe we've both done that. I certainly have, and I have some thoughts.
Yeah, more or less.
So I shall now give a little bit of a synopsis. I mean, a lot of people would have read Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas, published in the year 2000. However, if you haven't read it, I'll just give you a quick synopsis. Basically, it's a book all about trading psychology. It's appropriate for any traders, no matter what you trade. You may or may not agree with what he says, but it's not for a specific style or type or person of trader. You know, it's both for guys that do it professionally, for guys that do it in their hobbyists, and guys that trade for a living from home as well, and girls, of course. Basically, it's all about getting to grips with how and why people make trading mistakes and understanding that it comes from within. It's personal psychology rather than external forces. And he basically starts off the book with five fundamental truths of trading, which I'm going to read.
Very official sounding paper there.
Yeah. So one, anything can happen. Two, you don't need to know what is going to happen next to make money. Three, there's a random distribution between wins and losses for any given set of variables that define an edge. Four, an edge is nothing more than an indication of a higher probability of one thing happening over another. And five, every moment in the market is unique. Now, I won't go on and on about that, but basically the idea is that you have to accept that you cannot predict what is going to happen in the market. That if you try and trade from a position of having better analysis than the next guy, you will lose, according to Mark Douglas. And what you need to do is go away, find something that gives you an edge, some sort of trade that you take, some sort of system, some sort of pattern. And he says there are lots out there. You can buy one. You can make one up. You can contact him, indeed, for one. And then you have to go away and trade it robotically. You have to not expect anything from the market. You have to not take anything personally that the market does to you, because it's not doing anything to you. It's just a random stream of data, and it just presents a random stream of opportunities for you to enter and exit that market for a profit or indeed for a loss. Then you just have to find an edge that gives the probabilities in your favor. Now, he goes on at length about this and uses a lot of analogies. There are whole chapters where he doesn't even use the word trading to get his point across. And I think there is certainly some view out there that maybe it could be summarized a little bit more quickly than he does. But his point of going into those examples is to really get you to understand human psychology, where it comes from. You know, there are so many things, like when you place a bad trade or when you think a trade is going wrong, running away from that pain point stems from everyone's childhood upbringing and pain points when you're wrong and the criticism that brought down upon you. So it's a really interesting book, basically about human psychology and then applied to trading. A lot of people don't like it and a lot of people swear by it, but certainly something that's worth reading, because if at the very least, I think it gets you thinking about the way you're approaching your trading. Mm. So that was just some very initial thoughts, but that's basically what the book is. Tom, what did you think?
I think that was pretty good synopsis, to be honest, mate. So I'll caveat all this with, I think this is a book that everyone needs to read. My advice would be prior to them starting to learn to trade. But if you haven't read it before you started to learn trade, then definitely read it, you know, now, because like you just said, there are some great points to come out of that. However, I really struggled with it because it was a bit, like you said, a bit fluffy. There was loads of bits. I mean, some of the key points or chapters, things like consistency is a state of mind, aligning your mental environment, dynamics of perception and power of association, that I just lost the enthusiasm there, because it was all going a bit fluffy and a bit theoretical.
Was that when he talked about being bitten by a dog?
Yeah, It did start to bore me, and it go off piece slightly. I think I'm quite a grounded individual anyway, so I didn't relate to that as much. However, having said that, as you get towards the end and it starts to consolidate down, dilute down to actually some decent advice, it's things like how to think like a trader and things you need to do, and some really good practical advice that I really liked, such as build the self-trust necessary to operate in an unlimited environment. So, you know, trust in your system. Learn to flawlessly execute a trading system, basically become robotic. Mm-hmm. Train your mind to think in probabilities. And all these practical bits of advice that I think are invaluable to any system or any trader that's getting into the industry. So,
So
a bit fluffy, but ultimately get to the end of the book and you will become out of it, I think, a more enriched trader.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you could probably read the beginning third and the end third, or maybe the end quarter. I enjoyed it because a bit of amateur psychology always appeals to me. Even when I kind of forgot I was listening to a book about trading. Reading a book about trading. I'm a busy man, all right? Dog walks, audiobooks, it works.
Yeah, yeah.
to a book about trading at times, and it seemed like I was just really sort of almost reading something like, you know, your Freakonomics, these kind of things that talk about fundamental human truths. And that appeals to me, and it doesn't appeal to everybody, and it's not necessary to go into all of that detail to get his point. But things like, you're never wrong about the market unless you think you can be right. If you think that you can predict which way it's going to go with certainty, you will be wrong on more than one occasion, frequently, and you'll beat yourself up unless you're superhuman, and that will give you a negative viewpoint. If you just accept that you cannot predict which way the market is going to go, you can merely get a system that gives you an edge, and then it's a random distribution. You know, it's like if you throw a dice and a 1 to 4 you win and a 5 and 6 you lose, and you can create an edge at that, and all you then just do is keep throwing that dice, you know, you're going to make money on a 1 to 4, but it's still a random distribution. It's going to be a 5, it's going to be a 6 sometimes, and that's not your fault. You didn't make a bad trade. It's just your system. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. As long as you win more often than you lose, or when you win bigger, whatever your setup is to put the edge in your favor. And then just take yourself out of the equation. Take all of your neuroses, your hang-ups, your childhood things about not wanting to be wrong, about wanting to be right, beating yourself up about leaving money on the table, not taking the full profits that you can, and just stop doing the things like moving a stop loss and exiting the trade before you wanted to. You know, stop doing all of those silly things that cost us all money. Create a plan, stick to that plan, and understand that every impulse you have to deviate from that plan, if you've back-tested the plan, you know the plan works, every impulse you have to deviate from that plan is the little voice in the back of your head that is trying to self-sabotage you.
Yeah.
And ignore it, because it's bad psychology.
And that's
my takeaway.
Yeah, that I've got to say, that's exactly that. I'm sure that was the focus of the book, but it's creating a belief in consistency. And therefore, what I haven't done yet, I don't think you have either, is worked out how to effectively back test a system. We definitely need to do a podcast on this, because it's come up more than once now. And that's how you build that belief that your system will be consistently profitable, which will then allow you to dispassionately put trades on. And if they go wrong, it doesn't matter, because you know statistically it will become right in the end. And that's something that we haven't yet, I don't think, properly addressed.
I'm still building towards getting that edge, you know, that system that I think that I believe in that works for me. We had a guy tweet in today saying, you know, he's listening to our journey, he's feeling our pain, he's about 3 years in, and he's saying, yeah, you know, there are so many systems out there, all of which seem to work if applied correctly, but they don't work for everybody, they work for a small amount of people. You know, we have guys that swear by Elliott waves, guys that swear by fundamental analysis, guys that swear by just doing support and resistance lines and trend lines, you know, and all these people seem to make money, and a lot of people don't when they try and follow their system. So yeah, we need to get an edge, don't we, Tom? We need to find out what our thing is, and it'd probably be different for both of us. Backtest it, have full confidence in it, apply Mark Douglas' psychology. Because at the moment, we both have winning weeks, we both have losing weeks, but I think we're at a stage where, I certainly am at least, I have a lot of small wins, and then the occasional massive loss. Classic beginner retail trader stuff, you know. And that will always be when I do something I know I shouldn't have done, you know. When I take a trade because I think, oh, like this classic one, this interest rate differential trade I thought I'd take between Australian dollar and New Zealand dollar. I thought, oh, you know, and I read some, I think it was ABN AMRO advice about going to 107 because that was fair price and all this and that and everything else. and it all made total sense. And the trade I placed was only going to win for me if I was correct in my analysis. And it wasn't even really my analysis. I didn't wait for the retracement. I got in right in the middle of a trend, which obviously then fell back. It stopped me out by like 3 pips, hit the point, and Brandon said, "That's when you should have bought, you moron." And then obviously went back the other direction. And that was a big loss for me. You know, wiped out a lot of my recent gains, you know, over the preceding days and or week or so. And it's bad psychology. It's me saying, I know what is going to happen, rather than saying it's random distribution and I have an edge that makes the probabilities more likely to fall down in my favor than others.
I mean, that theory does feel like it's obviously more falling on the technical side of trading than the fundamental side, because I'm sure Brandon would disagree slightly that it's random every time, because again,
But it's random distribution. Like, so Mark's theory is that there are so many traders in the market and any one trader can move anything at any given time. You never know what's going to happen. But Brandon gets his edge through trading the sentiment in line with fundamental analysis and then maybe looking for a Fibonacci retracement in his favor to make the price beneficial. And then, other things like that, finding factors.
So maybe fundamental analysis is harder to quantify, isn't it? As opposed to technical.
But it can still be an edge, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good stuff.
We're getting there, man.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like we're building that knowledge base up. As always, it's amazing to have people tweeting in with information and stuff. It's just those little bits of gems of wisdom that drop in.
Yeah, cool. So I reckon I'll write up a review of this one, Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas, get it on the site.
Cool.
And I think I'm going to start doing this. I've just had another trading psychology book arrive, which is, I think it's called Trade Like a Shark by The Naked Trader. So I'm looking forward to reading that, and maybe we'll get a review out of that as well. And that will go nicely as I believe we're starting something new for the next month, Tom.
Yep, Equities Month. Essentially, we've just spent last few months looking at Forex, and obviously we've learned a lot. Unwise of us just to settle down with the first thing that we look at, so it's definitely worth looking at equities and trying to learn a bit about that and whether or not that's a more profitable option for us, which the Naked Trader at least it is.
Yeah, there are loads of profitable traders in the equities markets, and I think that equities are probably more research and fundamentals based. I think there are probably more ways to trade it that way, at least. And obviously, I know a lot of people still do technical trading on it. So it'd be really interesting to see how it happens. I don't know anything about it. I've never placed a trade on equities ever. So no. We'll see.
In order to wrap up the Forex trading challenge, we've got our final chat with Brandon Turner from Intex Markets. Just ask him some of our final questions, really, and try and get rid of some of the hazy mist that has descended while we've been trying to make some money off.
Yeah. I really grill him in this interview. So, anyone that was sort of wondering, well, exactly what is sentiment or what exactly, how does he define that? Listen to this interview because I give him a proper grilling and he comes up with the answers. So it's worth listening to.
Of course he does. So before we go into that, this.
Bullboard is a powerful stock screening application now available in the App Store. Download Bullboard to your iPhone today for effortless screening of thousands of shares. Set up your criteria, swipe your sentiment, and create watch lists of future trading opportunities. With backtesting functionality and the ability to create multiple portfolios, Bullboard is the most powerful stock screening application on the market. Visit bullsboard.com, bullsboard.com, or go to the App Store to download Bullboard to start screening stocks from your iPhone today. Brandon, hello. Welcome back to the Two Blokes Trading Podcast.
Good day, lads. How are you?
Yeah,
spiffing,
we're good.
Chap.
Spiffing. Yeah, thank you. Cheerio. Oh, no, that's early. So, obviously, you've been on a few weeks in a row now, Brandon, but in case people have missed that episodes ago where you introduced yourself, do you want to give us a quick 1 minute overview?
Sure. I don't know that I can keep it to 1 minute, but I'll talk really fast. So, I started off trading in 2006 as an equity trader at a prop firm here in Canada. It was in Calgary specifically. There's about 2,500 people globally in that company. Did pretty well there, really well. I was one of the top 3 to 5 traders almost daily in terms of P&L within my first 3 months, and then I became the lead trainer of this company. And then after that, so that kind of lasted until about – I traded until 2011 with the prop firm, but if you guys have paid attention to the prop industry, in 2009, 2010, it kind of went downhill because the markets became very efficient and most prop houses were built around inefficiencies in the marketplace. So that kind of fizzled out a little bit, and I got involved with a mate of mine here in Toronto, where I live now, was starting a Forex brokerage firm, doing a startup for high net worth clients, that kind of thing. So I got involved with that, and then that was my foray into Forex. And how I got into Forex was pretty interesting. How I started trading it was we had a high net worth client had an account with about $6.5 million. And he had given his account to a trader to trade it for him on his behalf. And what he did was pretty horrible. He managed to turn it into about $20,000 within 2 weeks. So it was a pretty crushing thing. Actually, in the Hall of Traders on twoblokestrading.com, a little plug for yourself there.
Yes, well done.
I described the story in a bit more detail, but I designed a strategy for him because this investor came to me to ask, you know, if I could help him out or whatever it was. And being that I had access to all the client data, which is a bit, you know, sketchy, but my strategy was to just do the exact opposite thing of what the clients were doing because they were constantly on the wrong side of the market. And I didn't know why at the time, but it worked so well for that particular client. We didn't get him completely out of the red, but you know, certainly got back a lot of his money. My mission from there was to figure out exactly why the clients are always on the wrong side of the market, and that's what led me down the path to my current trading strategies, which are fundamentals and sentiment based.
Nice, wasn't punchy.
Wasn't a minute. Apologies.
A minute.
So much more.
A minute with love.
Do it again.
Seriously.
All right. Good. So the point of this interview then is to wrap up the trading challenges and the concepts that we, Tom and I, have been looking at over the last 4 weeks under your guidance. This idea, as you say, of trading fundamentals and sentiment rather than a purely technical strategy, which is what we had been looking at before. Obviously, we're keen to learn, so we're exploring a lot of different things. Me and Tom got together. We asked each other a few questions, found out any sort of little bits that we were kind of unsure about, any areas where there were vagaries for us, and we figured if we don't know, then maybe those listening would like to find out as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, the system that you trade, if you can call it a system, or the concept, is that boils down to three elements of fundamentals, sentiment, and then technical indicators, all three of which you use to build up a trade picture and then enter and exit at the right time. And if the fundamentals of a currency are strong and the sentiment of the day on that currency is also strong, then you look to trade that against something where the fundamentals are weak and the sentiment is also weak. And the technicals, an indicator or two, help you get in and out at the right time, the most profitable, valuable time. Is that a fair assessment of the strategy?
It's close, but no cigar.
There's a couple weeks.
There's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of moving parts into that question, comment, all that. So basically, I don't use any technical indicators in the traditional sense. If we're talking about MACD, stochastic, Ichimoku, cloud, any of that stuff, that is just all measurements of past price behavior to try to determine some future price value that, you know, isn't how the markets move. So going back to the beginning parts, you talk about fundamental sentiment and technicals. My strategy is, in a nutshell, I use longer-term fundamentals to basically assess the situation of the economy. I don't necessarily trade them, but what I do is I use sentiment, which is a much shorter-term view of what's happening in the market right here and right now. If you can quantify sentiment to basically the mood of the market today, right now, what's happening in the past session, and we can use that to gain some insights to where price might continue to go. But the best sentiment trades are always the ones that are in line with the fundamentals. Like if you have positive fundamentals, like let's, you know, say the Federal Reserve hiking interest rates, and you have a positive sentiment, say the non-farm payrolls came out and they blew it out of the water, like destroyed expectations by a really wide margin. Like now you've got a real positive sentiment lined up with the fundamentals all day, go long. That's how I would trade that stuff. But I also like that. That's my analysis. So the first thing I do before I ever even look at a chart is I determine what's actually happening in the market, because I don't want to go look at a bunch of charts and find prices and do all this other stuff that staring at price charts. I just want to go to the charts that are relevant to that day, because there's a lot of different currency pairs you can trade. And I only want to focus on the ones that are going to be potentially moving right now when I want to make my trades. So what I do after that is I go to the charts, find out, I've already got my reason for the trade, go to the charts, see what the levels are. I don't really look at technical indicators. I take a look at average price range for the day. Where is it within that? I do look at trader pivot points to see if we're close to a daily central pivot, something like that. And every once in a while, I'll take a look at the last recent reaction high and low, and maybe do some Fibonacci's just to get a good idea of a decent area to get in, and I look for like what's called a confluence zone. So if a Fibonacci is lining up with, let's say, 132 level, like a double zero level, lining up with the daily central pivot, like they're all in a really close tight zone, to me that's a good place to get in on any sort of pullback. So that's what I do, and that is pretty much the extent of my technical analysis. And then once I'm in the trade, it's 99% psychology. They're risk management and psychology. I pick my levels of where my stop should go. I think of where I'm going to go for my take profits. And then after that, I just manage the psychology. And that psychology, I've gotten to a point where I no longer let the market influence me unless the market's told me that there's a reason I should be influenced. So if something happens, say I'm long dollar CAD, and something happens, so I'm negative on the Canadian dollar, essentially is what that trade is. And something happens and oil just rockets up $5. And I hear on the squawk, so using Rand Squawk, we've spoken about that before in previous episodes, and they say there's a huge reason for this, like industrial production cuts of oil and all this other stuff. And I know immediately that the market has just told me I am going to lose on this trade if I don't get out now. And so that'll be my psychological reason to get out. It's only because the market told me to. It's never because I need to grab at a profit, or I need to, I'm worried about, you know, the profit or loss, or I don't want to lose pips and all that kind of stuff. So that is my strategy in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, there's a lot in there, and a lot of that, it seems, on a first view, is going to be dependent on experience, right? On being able to understand what the market is telling you. So define it for me slightly. So when you, I think most people understand what you mean by the fundamentals. You know, if the interest rate is being hiked, that's, you know, good for the currency. If it's being cut, it's bad for the currency. If the economy is strong, that's good. If the economy is bad and getting worse, that's bad, right? And that's self-explanatory to most people.
Sure.
Sentiment is a little bit more hard to define, it seems, and it's maybe subjective. So if you are sat at your desk and you get there whenever you get there, and you're looking at, you know, I don't know, cable, you know, GBP, US dollar, how do you sit there and say, okay, the sentiment is this?
Okay, well, that comes down to my analysis straight away. So the first thing I do, excuse me, is I'm going to pull up Rand Squawk. I'm going to take a look at, they do like daily previews of what's happening. I take a look at the economic calendar. What, like if I see, for example, that the pound had gross domestic product, or they released some sort of important economic indicator.
So you're looking backwards in the calendar.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to look forward as well. Like if I don't want to step in front of a trade where, you know, I'm 2 minutes before non-farm yeah, payrolls, if I'm not prepared for it. But I often do step in front of trades like that, but because I have a really good reason to get in.
But in terms of judging sentiment, it's what has come before. So
absolutely.
So it could be defined almost as what was the reaction to the latest news, if
yes.
you like.
Yeah.
Is it specifically the sentiment, it is the reaction of the market. It's not, was the news positive or negative? It is, what did the market do as a result of this news?
Yes, exactly. And there's a couple things in there, because you could have, for example, like let's go to like a New Zealand cutting its interest rates. You could have, so the first interest rate cut, the market was expecting this to happen. And what they did was they traded it in line with it. So they sold the New Zealand dollar for a couple weeks going into that risk event. And then when the news came out, that you know, the market already priced that in. And so the New Zealand dollar would quickly drop and then pop back up and start going up. And to everyone's dismay, they just cut interest rates. That's fundamentally negative for the currency. But a lot of people without that experience, they didn't look to the chart and say, oh, well, that's because they dropped it 2,000 pips over the previous two weeks. So the market was a discounting mechanism in that case. It was looking to take this information that it was really sure was going to happen, and then it priced it in. The flip side of that example, we can go to Brexit. Like what happened before Brexit, before the polls started completing and all that stuff?
The markets,
they drove the pound dollar up. All the pound pairs went to the moon. I think it was like 600 or 700 pips on cable. And what happened was, as the results started coming out, leave, and it was just slightly leave, the market was like, oh man, we are caught out. Like, we are on the wrong side of this trade. And what happened? Like, the pound yen dropped, what, 2,200 pips in 2 hours or 3 hours. It was in crazy price movement. Now, that is a very special event, and it's not normal that you would have those kinds of reactions just based on normal economic data. But this was something unprecedented that we hadn't seen before. So, of course, it's going to cause more volatility. But that's a very different scenario. The market got caught offside. Same thing with last week. Last Friday was CPI figures on the Canada. It was that caught the market offside quite a lot. And what happened was we saw an instant spike on all the Canadian dollar basically dumped instantly and held there for the next few days. Until obviously the market has now forgotten about that, and they're now looking at oil with all these OPEC meetings, and that they've apparently come up with some sort of production cut, which means the price is going to go up because there's less supply, blah, blah, blah. So now, of course, the dollar cat is dropping again because oil's gone bullish.
Okay.
So, not sure if I answered your question there or not.
No, you did. Yes. So I trade the London session because I'm here in the London time zone. I get up and I look at the screen at 7 a.m. and I sit there and I say, okay, so over the Asian session, frankly, not much has happened usually in the major pairs that I am trading. There might have been something that happened in the North American session, and maybe yesterday, say, cable was going up, right? It rose steadily over the day and then sort of flattened out over the Asian session. I then wake up at 7 a.m. That sentiment, do I say, okay, that sentiment rolls over from yesterday, nothing has changed, the fundamentals are still good, there's no data coming out today that's going to affect that, therefore, were I inclined to make a trade, the sentiment maintains? Or do I say, okay, I need to see a couple of hours of it continuing, and then that is for me saying, right, the sentiment of the day so far, unless it changes, is long GBP US dollar. Like, this is my point, is like, how do you say this is the sentiment? How long do you have to be? Does it have to be going that way?
Sure. So this is the variable you have to work with, sentiment. The thing about sentiment is that it's not always clear exactly when it's going to stop and the market's going to turn around and focus its attention on something else, like as in selling it when it was buying it. If nothing's changed, there's many different kinds of sentiment. It's just not indicators and central bank speeches and stuff like that. Excuse me. Profit taking is a sentiment. If something's gone really far and the market, it still has a reason to be long this thing, but it's made, there's a lot of the big boys have made some cash. Of course, their selling pressure to get out of those positions are going to drive it down. And it's not necessarily negative. It's just profit taking. And that happens all the time. And this is where the unfortunate part for most traders is that they don't gain the experience to sit with that stuff for long, because it's not like technical analysis. Like, technical analysis is simple. It's black and white. Like, there's this pattern, there's this indicator. If this happens, then that. Boom. The black and white. And this is why retail traders love this stuff, because it's so simple to quantify. It's easy, slick, it's sexy. And it doesn't really take a lot of experience to say, okay, when the stochastic moves to oversold, I want to buy. You know, it has absolutely nothing to do with the reasons why the market's moving. And I think most people are rational enough to understand that. But people need this crutch to be able to kind of quantify where they are in the universe, and in trading in particular. This helps them to like feel like a security blanket. The thing about what I do is that I didn't just learn fundamentals and sentiment over time. Like, I stumbled onto a book of retail traders that were basically always losing because they were always – all of them used special indicators. I mean, one guy I knew, his chart – I couldn't even see the candlesticks. There was so much spaghetti on his charts. It was insane. And this guy – and he paid thousands of dollars for different systems. And he was paying like – I don't know. He had a TradeStation account. He's paying like $1,000 a month for his charting packages and all this stuff. And he's just losing money left, right, and center because he couldn't. How do you sit there and have 47 different indicators and try to get an actual signal out of that? Everything has to line up in one way. With fundamentals and sentiment, more specifically sentiment, it takes time. It's like anything. If you were an accountant, or you went to school, you got your training degree in accountancy, you went into the field and you realized that nothing was really the same. Like, there was all these different procedures you had to learn, all these different ways that you file documents, and a whole bunch of stuff you had to learn. So you were probably not a rock star accountant your first month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. You know, depending on, you know, each person is different. But the same goes, you had to develop that experience to understand how you're going to use your tools. And so it's the same thing with fundamentals and sentiment. Like, using a tool like RandSquawk takes time. It's not like it just overnight, boom, here, I read this manual and I understand and I've absorbed all the information and all the experience that I could ever get by reading this manual. That's not how it works. You read the manual, you memorize the stuff, you go back to it, read over it from time to time, and then you got to sit and experience it and see it. Like, if you've never been involved in a safe haven flaw, I always use this example. If you've never been long, let's say something like pound yen, when there's a huge debacle that comes out of China and the world is going to, you know, stop doing business and copper's going to zero and all this other, if you haven't been involved in some sort of safe haven flow like that, most people will look at the pound yen, oh, it's fallen 300 pips. It's no way it's going to go down. So they'll buy it. Their technical indicator is oversold at that point, so they'll buy it. And then it drops another 200 pips. And it's like, oh, well, I'm in a lot of pain here. I can't sell it. Let's buy more. and then that's exactly it. And they average down. They throw good money after bad money. And then it goes another 300 pips. And they're sitting there being like, my account's empty. There's nothing I can do. Brokers liquidated your positions. And it's just like, if you haven't experienced a safe haven flow, then you wouldn't know that it can and will go for a heck of a lot longer than you could have possibly imagined, if that makes sense. So it's just, it's time and experience. Yeah.
So it's the unfortunate answer of there isn't a quick win. There isn't an easy way to learn this stuff. And indeed, if you sit around learning, then when you get to the screen, it may not be like that at all. When I was a kid, I read the Biggles books about the World War One fighter pilot. And by when I was a kid, I mean all the time. And they always have the thing where the guy goes to like flying school and then gets to the Western Front. And they're like, forget everything you knew. It doesn't matter here. You just have to stay alive long enough to actually learn how it is. And I guess it's sort of analogous to this, right? As long as you can avoid blowing up your trading account and quitting for long enough, you can absorb enough time with the market that you can actually learn how it really is. And not just how it is in a book.
Yes, that's true. But the other thing too is you have to make sure that you're applying the correct principles. Like, if you're, for example,
it's just reinforcing negative habits, right?
Exactly. Which is why people who it's why people who trade solely on technical analysis, there's why the pattern works sometimes and why doesn't it work the other time. It's, well, because the pattern itself has nothing to do with why price is moving. The pattern is just a result of what price did. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, this triangle pattern is going to do, you know, this same thing the next time it happens, because it really depends on what's happening with the sentiment in the market. Like, I don't care who's what indicator you have. If you have an indicator that's telling you to sell a certain currency pair, and that's what your indicator does, and a central bank comes out and does a surprise interest rate hike, you're going to get destroyed. It's going to go straight up, and you're going to lose 100% of the time. Maybe not 100% of the time, but if it's not known information, if the market was caught out unexpected, then, you know, it's going to really move that currency pair. So it's not necessarily just about learning it all. You have to – the time to absorb it and the quality of the time that you spend absorbing it is really important too. It's like that – it's like, who was it? Was it Malcolm Gladwell that called out the 10,000-hour principle?
Yeah.
I can't remember who did it, but – to me, it's true and it's not. I mean, for anyone, if you put 10,000 hours into something doing the right things, you should be pretty decent at what you're doing. If you put 10,000 hours into trying to bowl, but you wanted to walk up to the bowling lane backwards, I mean, you're probably not going to be a good bowler after 10,000 hours. It's going to be funny to watch, but it's not really going to – you're not winning any trophies that way. So I think it's all about the quality of time. Like, for me, I was – when I started out trading, it's not being arrogant. It's just I had a perverse obsession. I was successful almost immediately. I probably got my – I don't know. I can't say 10,000 hours, but I got my equivalent of that in quality experience very, very quickly, because I was the first guy in the office and the last guy to leave. And I didn't just sit there and get hit by a trade and be like, I lost money. I might have cried about it. I probably did. But I would, at the end of the day, I'd go back and find out what was the reason. Why is this happening? You know, what can I do tomorrow to make sure that I don't get punched? Because I didn't like doing that. And eventually I had to take a different approach to that, because I was trading 2 to 5 million shares a day. So, but by that point I was quite successful and I was already set in my ways of what I was doing. So like, it's quality of time, not necessarily just quantity.
Yeah, makes complete sense. And I suppose that it's, like I say, it's not what people necessarily want to hear, but it's the truth, isn't it? You know, there'll be a lot of people that try and sell a quick win because it's an easy thing to sell and it's an easy thing to buy. But If you put in quality hours and you have the principles already, then you'll learn to do the right things. And, you know, although there's a point in your course where you talk about moving from unconscious incompetence to conscious incompetence. And I feel like I've done enough hours now that I now know what I don't know, rather than just being completely clueless. Now that I can move forward with some of that quality time in the market. So a couple of other sort of questions around, I don't want to go on too much about the sentiment thing. I suppose a key thing for me there is that I guess I'd been thinking about sentiment as either strong or weak, you know, either bullish or bearish on a particular thing. But what you said there about profit taking is a sentiment. So there are a lot of different things that are a sentiment. They're not necessarily black and white. It's not like there is a strong sentiment today for the pound, because there are 10 million people in the market, all of whom thinking different things. But there will be certain reasons why there's a lot of flow in a certain direction. That is a sentiment, and there might be other sentiments.
The one thing you can
experience
for sure, and the one thing you can take from that is that different kinds of sentiments. The big boys are all basically thinking the same thing. Retail guys are on aggregate thinking technical indicators. The billion-dollar hedge funds and all these other guys who are the masters of the universe when it comes to Forex, they're all pretty much thinking the same thing. Their job is to seek yield, right? They need to create a positive return, and they want to do it that's higher than something simple like buying bonds, where you get, I don't know, what do bonds pay these days? 1% up for 10 years or something like that?
Negative 1%.
Yeah. Sure, sure, exactly. And so their whole job is to seek yield. And so why did – and so that goes back to like the whole fundamental thing. This is why the Forex market cares so much what central banks have to do, because they're the ones who determine the interest rate of that country. So they're all thinking the same thing. So when the markets move, it's because the big guys have said, well, this is the information that we need to use to make our trading decisions with our billions and billions of dollars. That's why it moves.
So we've talked a little bit there about how you decide the direction you think the thing is going to move into. You touched very briefly on that confluence of factors. So you mentioned Fibonacci retracements are sometimes something you'll use, and I suppose just sort of a news event that changes sentiment. But can you tell us a little bit more detail about, because it is often a question that I want to know is, okay, how do you choose when you get in, and then how do you choose when you get out?
Okay, so to get in, I've already got my reason. I already know what I want to buy or sell before I even look at the charts. Mm-hmm. So I already know bad CPI data on the Canadian dollar. I already know I want to short the Canadian dollar somehow.
Regardless of what the chart is doing at that minute, you're like, that's the thing I want to do.
Regardless.
That's interesting. Okay.
And it's very rare that I come to the charts and it's doing the opposite of what I think. And if it is doing the opposite of what I was thinking, well, maybe the information I had was a little bit later and the market's taking profit. Or I haven't done enough research, which it doesn't take long when you use, you let tools like RandSquawk do the heavy lifting for you. It only takes a couple minutes to figure out what's
happening.
That's
really interesting as a concept, because whilst we've been doing this sort of trading sentiment challenge, I've been making my decisions while staring at the chart.
Right.
And maybe actually then I'm therefore being influenced by the pretty picture in front of me, and not by if I need to make a decision on the direction, then I don't even need to look at the chart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you've done your research on it, and it doesn't have to take hours and hours of research, just gliding through a quick couple articles on RandSquawk or something like that, or whatever Bloomberg term, or whatever you use to get your information source from, for most people, it's not anywhere but the chart. It doesn't take long. You just figure out what's moving, why is it moving, and then go take a look at the chart and see what's happened.
It doesn't have to be based on how many green or red bars there are in a row.
Absolutely not, because there's like what 10, 15 different kinds of sentiment. Like there's all kinds of things that could be happening. Like even no price action is a sentiment. They're waiting, and for most people they go, oh, the market's chopping me up. Well, because there's no reason for the market to be moving, so yeah, it's just chopping around in a sideways fashion. And people who have technical indicators and all that stuff, people get destroyed. For most technical indicators, you have to be moving in one direction to make a profit. But either way, what was the original question there?
So how do you decide where you get in and then how do you decide where you get out?
Yeah, so I know my reason before I get in, and then I go to the charts, look at it, and find my levels. So like I spoke, if it was a really, really strong sentiment, something that was a really big deal, like the CPI last week on the Canadian data for Canada, that, I would look to plot a Fibonacci from the most recent low to the recent high, and I would look at the 38.2% retracement, because that's something I look at in a very fast move. If it was a more moderate move and the information wasn't as big of a deal, I'd look more towards a 61.8. And then what I want to do is I want to line that up with price levels that make sense. The big boys, they need to look at double zero levels. So like $1.10 on the Euro USD or $1.32 on dollar CAD or whatever it is, because that's where the most liquidity tends to be. So the big institutions look at those numbers and they become very important. So I, of course, want to follow what the big institutions are doing. And so I look at those levels. So if I get my 38.2 lining up with a double zero level and say there's a trader pivot, like I know a lot of traders, big traders, they look at, you know, daily central pivots and your R1s and your S1s and all that kind of stuff. If that lines up there too, boom. Like, I mean, we've got, a confluence of reasons to get in there. I just don't have one reason to get in. I've got several. And the sentiment supports this decision to get in at this particular juncture. So, I mean, my stop loss would probably go on the other side of the most recent reaction, depending how far that was. And I would look to target, depending on how strong the sentiment is. If it's a normal sentiment, I target what I call fair value. And because I'm day trading, if I have to hold a trade for 3 days, it's the equivalent to a decade for an institution. Like I want to be in and out as quickly as possible, because that's just how I prefer to trade. And I'm quite busy doing other things too. So if I see that if it's a strong move, and fair value is what I call the most recent high or low, I'll probably look to take profit beyond that. And so I'd look to previous reaction highs where a resistance level might be or something like that. Or maybe there's another double zero level ahead of me. So I'll kind of want to get out.
So an ambition to take profit. It's not like, right, so if the previous high was hit, because I do this, the previous high was there, I'll put my take profit 5 pips in front to make sure I get taken out of the trade with profit and I don't miss it.
Yes, I do that on
thing to do.
No, absolutely not. It's a great thing to do. I do that. Hey, congratulations.
You made his day now.
Hey, there's Tom.
Get back in your box, Tom.
No, that's a great thing to do. Like, for example, when I was talking about, I was more referring to a really strong move I want to do that on. But of course, if it hits that high and I'm long and it just turns around and starts dumping, of course, I'll get out, you know? But I don't want to have it come down and stop me out or do anything like that, because sentiment changes all the time. But on a more normal reaction, so like the market's just trending, it's doing its thing, and there is a fundamental reason for it to do it. If it was like a more normal, like a 61.8 pullback, and there was, you know, good levels to get in there, yes, I want to get out ahead of the most recent high, because there's very likely going to be a lot of orders up there. And there's, you know, there's a bunch of things there. There's always the people who want to go short. So there's all the retail guys want to go short at that last high, which of course they're on the wrong side of the fundamentals and sentiment when they go short. So there's orders there, and which will cause the market to go down. And then there's the big guys, the smart institution guys, who want to take their profits there. So there's lots of sell orders there. You want to get out.
Okay. Yeah. So the people just looking to get some profit, some yield, those big boys, they'll say, right, so that's an obvious place to get out, and we've made some money for the day, happy days. And then everyone that's range trading selling it anyway. But you said before, though, that you'd wait for something to change, the sentiment to turn around. If there's nothing that changes fundamentally, and say someone's increased interest rates, someone's decreased interest rates, and you don't think that's priced into the market yet, and so therefore you think that that's got room to go and go, you'd still rather take a day trade and say, no, actually, I bought a dip. This is the high. I just take that trade. I don't care if it then goes up another 50 pips overnight and whatever tomorrow. I'll look at that again tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm not one of those traders who looks at a chart and says, oh, I left 100 pips on the table. Well, so what? It's not my job isn't to pick highs and lows. My job is to take the middle chunk out of a reaction move. That's it. So I mean, I know people get really miffed when they take a look at a chart and they've taken 5 pip profits and it goes another 175.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't have the psychological prowess to hold on to that for any more than 5 pips. So they got what they deserved in that respect.
Okay, so what you're saying, Brandon, is that the entry is a bit more complex. It's about reading the sentiment by understanding what's happening with the fundamentals, and then what's happening with some news or whatever of that day. Then looking at the chart and saying, yep, that's confirming what I believe, that I've got a strong versus a weak, and that the price is moving in my direction. But I'm going to wait maybe for a retracement, or I'm going to wait for, I don't know, some sort of break out of a certain price, something like that, that then says this is a good time to buy. But you're not trying to catch it right at the beginning to get all of the pips. You don't mind if you jump in on a trend. You don't want to predict a trend. And then at fair value, so at an expected high where you take a good chunk of pips, you say, that's me for the day and I'm happy with that. You place a take profit and you get out.
So, yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. And there's one more little strategy I'll use in there as well. If a sentiment is super strong and we're not getting any pullbacks, I might just fall in. Just fall into the trade and take what I can, because if the market, like Brexit, for example, I did trade that. I just fell in.
Pullback on that. Yeah.
Nope, no pullback. So I just fell into a pound yen short and made 1,100 pips on the trade or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. And I just closed my eyes and that's what happened.
Who's the other side of that trade? That's what I want to know. Crazy person.
I don't know.
Yeah. Cool. So I think that is a really, really good, I would say, synopsis, but it's a 25-minute synopsis, but really good value stuff. So I don't mind that it took a bit of time.
War and Peace.
Yeah, if you can read War and Peace in 25 minutes, that's fair enough. But cool. So what we want to experiment with now is a new little thing, some quickfire questions. So the quickfire round. Tom, can I have the bell? Great. So, Brandon, the rules are 5 questions. You've got 10 seconds per answer.
Oh,
we ask the same 5 questions of every profitable trader we get on the show. And I'm not going to define the question for you. Just answer it as best as you can from the words, what come out of my mouth.
Oh, boy, that's going to be hard for me because we just talked at length and, you know, I just speak.
You
I don't know if I can do it.
I'm looking forward to it. I've got a timer here, so per question.
Okay. Since he speaks, give him grace of 15 seconds and I want a ding.
I don't. Well, if we're testing this out, I don't want. I want him to stick to the rules, mate.
All right. I'm a hard taskmaster.
I shall try my best.
This is military officer training, you see.
Yeah.
All right, fine. So, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
New traders, demo trade first, yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
Because you want to learn the process of trading without being too overrun by the pressures of money.
Excellent. Should you expect to make money in your first year of trading?
Yes, I think you should have a positive expectation. You should work hard towards the achievement of that goal.
How much, if anything, should you pay for trader education?
I would say find the best qualified person, $5,000 to $10,000. If you can get someone to do a mentorship, maybe $10,000. Otherwise, just make sure quality.
How should a new trader choose their system and find their trading edge?
I can't do that one in 10 seconds. Pass. Next question.
All right. Have you ever blown up a trading account?
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right. We're going to go back to the last one and give you 30 seconds. How should a new trader choose their system and find their trading edge?
They should choose their system based on empirical evidence that it actually works.
That's sounds... fine. That's good. There you go. Okay. That was 5 seconds.
Don't do something that's too good to be true is what I could say there.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Choose something that's proven to work and isn't snake oil.
Okay, yeah. Brandon, how do you feel now? Was that pretty intense for you?
I think I did better than I thought I was going to do. those questions, I could literally give you – I could write books on all those questions. I actually have. You guys have seen my course. It's pretty lumpy.
Yeah, that certainly is. And where can we find that course?
Intex Learn, so INTEXLERN. But what I would say is that for the listeners there, if they want to reach out to me or reach out to you guys, I mean, you can get me at brandon@intexmarkets.com. So brandon@intexmarkets.com. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if people have it. And it might actually give you guys some good material to hear what your viewers are asking, the types of questions that they want to know about, even the kind of stuff they don't want to know about. Maybe they don't want to hear my voice anymore, stuff like that. But you know, in the pursuit of helping people out and helping them achieve their goals, because that's basically what my trader education is all about, is to get people to achieve what they want, what it is that they want to achieve, because I'm selfish. One, because I want to build an army of people who can trade successfully, because my long-term goal, 3 to 5 years, is to get a financial firm together where we're managing client capital and doing all that stuff. So I selfishly want to make sure we can get people to that level so that we can all work together.
We'll be rich and happy together. That sounds like the ultimate goal. Boom. All right. Brandon, lovely to speak to you again. Thanks for coming on so many weeks in a row and for listening to some of my possibly tortuous questions with your excellent and erudite answers. And we look forward to speaking to you again, I'm sure, in the future. For now, cheerio.
Thanks a lot, guys. Smashing as always.
Right, and that's the end of Brandon.
Good. Well, it was a fun 5 weeks while he was around. We may not have seen him for a while.
Yeah, learned lots. Massively opened our eyes, so extremely grateful to Brandon. And hopefully at some point he'll come back on and enlighten us and enrich our day again.
Raise him from the dead. All right. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm certainly going to be taking away a lot of what he said and using it as a foundation for creating my edge, you know. We had the guys from EdgeWonk on talking about getting that trading journal, and basically that's all about getting that edge. We just had the trading in the zone discussion about getting an edge. Talking to Brandon, I realized that's the thing I don't have. What does my perfect trade look like? And then how do I trade that? And I need to get that written down and decided. We've spoken to a lot of great people, but the way Brandon does it and the way that he comes to a trading decision appeals to me. I reckon I can build myself a significant edge. So there's random distribution of probabilities but with an edge in my favor. This will be a good edge for me.
I can talk the talk.
Yeah. So I'm going to go away and look at that. What about yourself, mate? Is it for you?
Yes and no. Yes, I believe I 100% need to know fundamentally what is going on and how it can affect my trade. I think my personality leans more towards the technical side of things. My next steps, I'm going to go and pester Moritz from EdgeWonk and try and have a chat with him and understand how he goes about his trading and see if I can start emulating that.
We want to get on TradeSciety. That's his community, isn't it? And I think it's free to join, TradeSciety.com. So
have a look at that and obviously I can report back on that. But not for a while because we've got this extra month to look forward to and learn.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole different kettle of fish. I'm really looking forward to it. And we've got a couple of very interesting interviews recorded already, and we're going to speak into some more interesting people, Tom. So what's that, 4 episodes beginning next episode?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Anything else from you, mate?
No, I'm going to go and read Bloomberg until I've decided I can predict the market and I'm 100% correct on every trade I take, and then beat myself up when I fail.
Cool. I'm just going to go and win the lottery. So I'll see you next week.
All right, mate. Bye.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Two Blokes Trading podcast with Tom and Owen. Be sure to subscribe and check out twoblokestrading.com, and we'll see you back here next Monday.